So Psalms chapter 52, verses 7 to 9. Here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope. For your name is good, I will praise you in the presence of your saints. And then 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 11. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. God is the eternal rock. God is the eternal rock. God is the eternal rock. It's recorded many places in the Bible that God is the rock. God is the eternal rock. And why is he the rock? Because he is perfect. He is complete. His works are perfect. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, it says, he is the rock. His works are perfect. And all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. So he knows who truly needs him and believes in him. And those who truly trust him, he knows. So those who trust him and place their trust in God and become pillars, then he too will also put his trust in those pillars. So those who believe him and have become pillars, then God will have put his trust in those pillars as well. And this is in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. So our faith is to trust in God and his word and his name. So do you trust him? Amen. So the life of faith of such believers is that in whatever circumstance, whatever suffering, they are not swayed, nor are they shaken. So, and it is to put their trust in God in whatever suffering or adversity. So that is the faith life. So it's not only in goodness and comfort, but let's say all of a sudden suffering comes and misery comes, one falls in fear, then that is not trusting in God. So having a rock for this foundation. So it's like in Georgia, there is this mountain. It's a rock, and it's a solid rock. And many people go there as a tourist attraction. And so, thou art my trust. God is truly who we can trust. So therefore today's message is about my soul and my trust. So my true soul can trust God, and God is our trust. So when we talk about this foundation and rock, this trustworthy base, we use this word trust often. And it's in what industries is this word often used? So the financial industry uses the word trust, but that already has a negative connotation behind it, as you can't really trust the financial corporations. As we see in history, there were cases of market crashes that brought the industry to ruins, like the Lehman Brothers. And many people were indicted and criminally charged, and it was very untrustworthy, and it was a very difficult time. However, despite that, the industry is still around. Not only that, people believe and trust in surgeons in hospitals and medical facilities. So they go in as patients and are not sure if they'll even wake up from the anesthesia, but they place their lives in their hands. And how about air travel? We see how some planes just fall vertically, but you trust in these transportation methods, though there are no guarantees. But if you don't trust in these, then how will you live on? And so people take these risks. And nowadays in Korea, there's a popular term using the word self. So like selfies, and Koreans call it selfie. And also, what about self-design? So no one does it for you, but you do it on your own. Self-interior, self-wedding. You don't need anyone's help. You do it on your own since you can't trust anyone. And also, what about funerals? There are so-called self-funerals. As you plan for your own funeral. And in Korea, as well as America, those in their 50s in Korea are approaching the age for retirement. So in Korea, it's around 55. So once you retire, what's their investment and what did they prepare for is what they worry about. And they plan for supporting their children and how they'll be taking care of their children and how they will live their lives. And nowadays there are a lot of strange children. So 98% of the young women and men in their 20s don't want to get married. So they live with their moms and dads. They're the YOLOs. You only live once. So they believe they don't need secure jobs or to advance in their career. They're only living one life and they want to enjoy life and travel and don't really plan ahead. And so they are like a kangaroo generation living in their parents' pouch. And now we see prolonged lifespans up to 120 years. That's the span of life. So what do they do? So there are elders. In the past, it used to be 70, 80 years, but now they live past 100 years. And so now there's the worry about who will take care of them. And so the children are worried about that. And the elder generation think of how they will take care of their own retirement. And so they live with this concern and worrisome hearts. How will they prepare their retirement and who can they depend on and rely on? Is it the government or a pension? Their children? They can't. So there's nowhere to turn to and they have no place to put their trust. And it's very sad. And I wish they could have come to me as I will give them the solution. So now, God is the rock. Hallelujah. Meaning that you can trust him and rely on him. So God is the only one you can trust forever. The Bible, when you believe and trust, you need to know the foundation of your faith. And where does this all begin? We believe that the Bible contains the word of God. Amen. So what is the Bible? It is the credit reports, the credit score of God. And why is it considered the credit report of God? because it contains the prophecies and covenants. The prophecies and covenants, the promises are recorded in the Bible. And in this Bible, it contains the prophecies and covenants, and all except one has been fulfilled, and that's the return of Jesus Christ. Just one prophecy to be fulfilled, which is the return of Jesus Christ, but all the rest were fulfilled. So this book is trustworthy. It is worthy to believe. Amen. And it is the foundation and fundamental start of our faith. So what do you have to believe first? So you have to button the first one correctly in order for the rest to follow. So the first button you have to start with is you have to believe in creationism, the creation of God. So from nothing, God called all things into being by the word of God. And this is described in Genesis. So this is what you ought to believe. However, there are many people who get stuck here. They can't come to believe in creationism. They admire Jesus' morals and teachings, but they can't believe in the creation. But why do we start here? Because if you don't believe in creation, then you cannot believe in Jesus Christ. And basically, then you make up your own ideas and own religion about Jesus. So that's what we need to believe in, which is the creation. So when you look at genealogies to this day, it's 6,000 years from the beginning of the universe to now. It's only 6,000 years and many can't believe this. But we see that there were the Nephilim, and we see that there were people existing way past 6,000 years ago. So let us turn to Genesis chapter 6. Verses 1 to 4. Now when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took as wives whomever they chose. So the Lord said, My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and afterward as well, when the sons of God had relations with the daughters of men. And they bore them children who became the mighty men of old, men of renown. So there were two types of people. So the sons of God and the daughters of men. So there are these two types of people. So those who had the spirit of God. Those who had the spirit of God, and there was the type of people who did not receive the spirit. So if you look at the ancestry of man who received the spirit, it was Adam. So God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, as we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So Adam is a being that has a soul, but God only gave this one man, Adam, to be a living being, a spirit. The rest of the people did not receive the spirit, and they were roaming the world and were spiritless. And however, outwardly they looked the same, but they were living amongst the people and called daughters of men. Now those with spirit were the spiritual men of God, and now the daughters of men and the sons of God. So the men with spirit and the men without were coexisting. So to this day, do we still have these two types of people? No. People who have the spirit who are descendants of Adam, and those who are soulless? No. So during the great deluge, God wiped out every living creature that breathed through its nostrils. And through the flood, during Noah's time, the great deluge, everyone might look the same, but it was only Noah's family of eight that survived. So those who died, you think they will go to hell? They had no spirit, so they would not go to hell. They were like the cattle and the animals. So they didn't have a soul to go to hell. So some question how God could just kill everyone. Was he merciless? But those without spirit were the same as dogs or cattle that died. because God only planned to leave the living being the descendants of Adam. Amen. So we must believe in this. And so where is this recorded? In Genesis chapter 5, verse 32 onwards, and through this lineage, we see Abraham is from Noah, and we can read this here, that Noah is the descendant of Abraham and descendant of Adam. And we have to believe this in the Bible. So what must we believe? Is first, we have to believe that God is the creator. And next, we have to know who we are. We are descendants of Adam, a living being. This is what we ought to believe. And this is the first button of faith. When you have to button things out, this is the first button of your faith. Then, who do you believe? You believe the faith of Abraham, that and he is considered the father of faith. So how was he given this title, father of faith? So at around 100 years old, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 10, Abraham and Sarah were told by an angel that they would bear a child, and Sarah laughed because she was like, God, don't you know that we are well past childbearing age? And so how are we to have child? But for God, nothing is impossible. And so what he requested from them is faith. So God can do anything, and you just need faith. And they had this faith, so they ended up having a child, and he was named Isaac. They believed God, and when Abraham believed God, he understood that he could create something from nothing, that he can call into existence and bring life to the dead. So he can call into beings that were not and bring the dead to life. And they had faith in this attribute of God. And so Isaac's name means laughter. So every little detail, it is given as reasons, the fact-based reasons why we must believe. So jumping to the time of the Exodus, so to Abraham, your ancestor, this was already promised that his people would be serving as slaves in a foreign land, but then they will be brought out. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all died, but this promise that God had promised to his people, that in four generations the people of Israel would be brought out of Egypt. And this means what they believed is that God keeps every promise he makes. Amen. So he is the God whom we can trust. Amen. Then when he brought them out of Egypt, it wasn't an easy exodus. After the many plagues, after the 10th plague, they were finally released, but they crossed the Red Sea on dry land and lived in the desert for how many years? For 40 years. So these historical facts and events we have to believe. If you don't believe in this, then the foundation of our faith is shaky. So is it easy to live 40 years in the desert? What did they eat to survive? It was the manna from heaven, and when they were thirsty, rocks were struck, so water given to the people of Israel. So do you believe? And who believes in this the most? It is the people of Israel. And they have received the most scientific awards and recognitions in this world today. But these people believe in the scripture as a totally different world than the scientific one. So the world of faith is totally different from the world of science. The physical world and the spiritual world are different. And though they are different, But one day it will co-mingle and supernatural events occur. And these are presented to us as proof and evidence of faith. Also, let us take a look at David. He was given faith and won his battles as a warrior. And his confession was that he did not depend on swords and arrow, his bow, but he only trusts in the Lord, and he'll face the enemies with this trust in God. So with God's help, he advanced against the enemy troops. So he did not rely on sword or arrows or bow, but with trust in God, he advanced against the troops, his enemies, and he leapt over the walls. So this was to demonstrate that he trusted God and he was his only trust. And from there on, there were the prophets. And it's just remarkable how Elijah, he won the battle on Mount Carmel. The fires fell and consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones and water. And he also prayed for rain after 3 years of drought. He prayed and prayed, and finally rain fell. Hallelujah. So one of his apprentice Elisha, he brought life back to the Shunammite woman's son. And do you believe this? So you can't pick what you want to believe or not. The Bible records historical facts, so you can believe today. Amen. And you must believe all these things, and it will be possible for you to believe in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who is the incarnate Word. So it's the Virgin Mary who gave birth to a child. Do you believe that? That's impossible to believe. How can you believe that? But knowing that he didn't just come to this earth, but from before creation, the prophecy said that the virgin would give birth and his name would be Emmanuel, as recorded in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And after this prophecy in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, finally Jesus Christ is born. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. So whenever we want to evangelize, you can present this evidence by opening up the Bible, and it will be hard for them to refuse to believe that. So she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So in the beginning, we said the foundation of our faith is on the Bible, and the content of the Bible consists of two things, which is prophecy and covenant. So why do we believe in this? Why must we believe this? Is to believe in Jesus Christ. So if you don't believe the prophecy of the virgin conception, then it's hard for you to believe the other prophecies and covenants that have taken place and been fulfilled. And so that when Jesus Christ comes, you can believe. And this is why this historical events happened. Amen. So now Jesus Christ finally came, and his name is Yeshua, and is translated as Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. So what kind of God? Which God is with us? In John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So who is the Word? It is God who was with God. the Word, the God who was with God. So God, it says the Word with God. It says the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. Who was that? So the Word who was with God now came in the flesh. So the Word with God became flesh. And who was that? It is Yeshua. So then who do we receive when we're with Him? We call Him God with us, Emmanuel. So do you understand? So now has anything changed? The Word with God is not 1 + 1 = 2. So the Word with God, it's 1 × 1 = 1. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is not 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. It's 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. So everyone being together with the same purpose, same direction, same glory. It's together the Word that was with God became flesh and became the Son of Man, Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what we have to believe. Who is Jesus? He is the Word that was with God. He is God. So when Jesus started His public ministry, He called His disciples, and when He called them, He commands them to leave everything behind, their boats, their nets, father and mother, brothers and sisters, and to just follow Him. Sometimes He didn't even have a single coin. No one had a coin to pay the temple taxes. So they went over and caught a fish, and in its mouth there were coins, so they paid the temple taxes. So was it necessary for them to have coins in their pockets? So no, they didn't have a need for that. The disciples' pockets were empty too. And why was this? It was so they can rely on Yeshua alone, the teacher, so that they could put their trust only in God. And that is why all else was let go. So now there were signs and wonders, and there was a time he was teaching and preaching to the multitudes, numbering in the thousands. And as He was teaching, 3 days passed and there was nothing to eat. And He felt compassionate and wanted to give them something to eat. But no one had any food. And there was a young boy with five loaves and 2 fish, and that's all they had. But Jesus told them, He gave thanks and blessed the food, and there was enough to feed the multitudes. And there were thousands, and they were able to be fed. And there were 2 events like this. Do you believe this? So He said to leave everything behind. Will people starve and die? No, it's to trust in Him alone, to believe that He is God, that He is the Son of God who is from above, who is from heaven. And through the signs and wonders, it was displayed so they'd have trust in Him. And what of Peter? They saw Jesus was gone and they were looking for Him. And this fisherman, Peter, he was fishing all night long and couldn't catch a single one. And he cast his net everywhere but was unable to catch fish. But when instructed by Jesus, he trusted in Jesus. He said, "But at your word, I will let down the nets." And so he caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, and other boats had to come and help to haul the fish. And because they put their trust in Jesus's word, they had a full net of fish. now there was this to convince the people there's no reason to worry and that they'd catch fish. And they wanted Jesus to be their king as he could take care of everything. But Jesus knew their hearts and he disappeared somewhere, but they did not understand Jesus. The disciples, the people, the multitudes wanted him to be king, but Jesus had no interest in what these people in this. So you see how they were disappointed and ended up crucifying him. And when Pontius Pilate asked if he's a king, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And that my kingdom is not of this world. I am not here to fill your stomach with fish, not to feed the flesh with bread. I did not come here to become king of this world, but I am here to reign with the truth and be king who reigns with the truth, who reigns over souls. However, this was not satisfying to the people, and so he was betrayed and was handed over to death. So Jesus did not resist, and he was led to his death. And when he died, he said, "It is finished." And what did he finish? What did Jesus finish? So what the Bible is about prophecies and covenant. So in John chapter 19, verse 30, it says, "It is finished." But before that, it says that he was thirsty. It says later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." This was all recorded in prophecy, and he recalls this in knowing that everything had been completed. And so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." And then after he says, "It is finished. Amen." So now every covenant and prophecy has been fulfilled. So the prophecies are from the prophets and the laws have been fulfilled. So the law is the first covenant and the prophecies from the prophets have been completed. And according to the command of the Father, he laid down his life, meaning he completely trusted his command. So what did the Father command him? In John chapter 10, verse 18, it says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." So he has authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. But because God had a prophecy and had a promise, as Jesus died, there was one thing for the Father to do according to the prophecy, which was to raise the Son back to life. That's the word that Jesus trusted. Like Peter casted the net, Jesus laid down his life. Amen. So he said, "Receive my soul, I give you my soul." There is only one who he can offer his soul to, and that is the Father God. And also with his death, he condemned and judged the devil, the father of lies. And then third, with his death, he paid the price of all men's sins and they were redeemed. And the blood he shed was sprinkled into all souls, and those who believe in the blood and who receive and accept the blood, those souls who have received the blood of Jesus can now live in faith. In Romans chapter 9 verse 32, they can now live in faith. Say amen if you have the blood of Jesus. So now what must you do? Your spirit will live trusting in faith. Living in faith alone. Jesus is my trust. Jesus, thou art my trust.
Now, as those who have received the blood of Jesus, we declare that Jesus, you are my trust, and we put our trust in the name Yeshua and put trust in his word. And this is how we now ought to live. And as he promised, some days later he resurrected, and the resurrection is the evidence that Jesus Christ is the word and that Jesus Christ is the truth. And his words are the foundation of faith, the promise and guarantee of faith. So if Jesus had not resurrected, then if there was no resurrection of Jesus Christ, then all the faith that we're talking of has no foundation and it would crumble. Every prophecy and covenant of the Bible will mean nothing. But as Jesus Christ died and resurrected, and all prophecies and covenants fulfilled, it is the confidence and guarantee of our faith. Amen. So some are not interested in his resurrection and just think that he was a kind man and did good works to help the poor and help the sick. But this is human-centered theology. We need to focus on his resurrection and his disciples witnessed this. They became the witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus first died, they all fled as Jesus wasn't anywhere to be found. But then he came back and they saw this. And Jesus Christ has been raised. And from that point on, they went out to testify that Jesus Christ was risen, and they were persecuted and caught and brought to death, and many died and were martyred. And what made them do this? It was the Holy Spirit that witnesses to this day that Jesus Christ is alive. So where did the Holy Spirit come from? In John chapter 15 verse 26, it says, "When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." So it's just like Jesus came from the Father, the Holy Spirit came from the Father testifying and witnessing about Jesus who went to heaven. So it is the Holy Spirit. So now Jesus Christ ascended and passed on the baton to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings the baton of the name Yeshua. Hallelujah. So the Son, for 33 years, he bore the name of Yeshua, and as he ascended to heaven, he passed the baton to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit now spreads it through the whole world. Amen. So the witness of the resurrection of Jesus is the Holy Spirit, and it's made possible by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is now received by those who believe and those who are Christians. Now the true transformation in Christians is that the evidence that I, the soul, have received the blood of Jesus. So you have received this blood, that single drop of blood of Jesus. So by grace, we have received the name of Jesus and have received his blood. But does that mean some people have received like a whole drunkful of the blood of Jesus and some people only a drop, so they're anemic? No. Everyone is given one drop of the blood of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit will help it grow and lead us to do what? So that the soul that received the blood of Jesus, until the day we grow and transform into the resurrected body, the spiritual body, the Holy Spirit helps us to grow. So we've been given birth by the blood of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will bring us to the resurrection, to life, the resurrected body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So if you've received the blood of Jesus, say amen. and say amen if you have received his name. That is the soul that these words apply to, so that you can hope for the resurrection to the spiritual body, to be raised a spiritual body. Again, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So everybody knows they have a natural body, this physical body. But what is also in your natural body? There is the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of God. It is spiritual. This spiritual blood, you cannot see it. It's invisible, but it is sown seed. And as it grows, it'll make a spiritual body. Do you understand? Amen. So you accept the name and the blood of Jesus, as we heard from last week. You've accepted the name of Jesus, the name of kings. Now you accept the name, so you are heirs. You are all princes. You're the princes of the king. So isn't that right? Everybody, we really need to admire and respect one another, for we are all princes. You are a prince. So there are no sexual differences for the soul, so you are all princes. And once you leave your body, you will become a king. In heaven, there are, in the kingdom of God, who is the King of Kings? It is Jesus Christ. And the rest of you will be kings. And where will you be seated? On the throne. Therefore, you should admire and respect each other. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But what is the problem? It's that the blood of Jesus can't dry and perish away, this blood that is in us. So it takes 21 days from egg to chicken. So 21 days for the chicken and for ducks is 28 days. And they have to be incubated and brought to life and crack the shell. But for us to be resurrected to our spiritual body, there is a natural body, and it's like the outer layers of an egg, like the shell. And you say, wow, for a shell, you look fine. So it's okay if you're not that handsome, for you will be raised a spiritual body. Amen. So you are a prince of the king. Amen. So do you feel that your natural body is disgusting and aging and you really want to end this life? But it's okay. Your outer shell is rotting, but your inner being daily, it's renewing and growing. Amen. Hallelujah. Until we are given the new life and are resurrected to the spiritual body, we continue to nourish and grow the spiritual body. And the Holy Spirit is incubating us and nurturing us, and the church is protecting us to grow. Amen. Hallelujah. And in order for us to be like this, the Christian first has to let go of his own knowledge and self-confidence. So Peter had his knowledge and confidence, but he trusted the Lord's commands and let go of his belief and self-confidence. And when he did so and obeyed the word of God, we see what happened. So we are to let go of our knowledge of this world that was acquired by experience. We cannot put this before the word of God. The word of God has to be above all that, for his word will be fulfilled. And second, it doesn't matter if we do good or bad, but regardless, but when we leave this body, we entrust our souls to the Lord, for we have his blood in us. Amen. So when we die, we don't worry or fear, because by the blood of Jesus that we gain the confidence to go before him and ask him to receive my soul. All I have is the blood of Jesus. The only thing we can trust is the blood. And it's by his blood we can come before him. By the qualification and confidence in his blood, we have come. Amen. Hallelujah. And third, in all persecution and suffering, we know that we know whom we believe and we trust. So in whatever suffering or adversity, we trust him. And we are confident that he will fulfill the trust we have in him. So we know who we believe and who we trust. Who is he? Who is he? It is Yeshua. It is only Yeshua. I know who this is. I know who Yeshua is. And it's not to only pretend we know who he is, but when the time comes, we deny him. No, you have to know, truly know, and depend and trust in him completely. And that is who I am. I am so confident as I know who Jesus is. I'm confident that I would be the first in line in knowing who he is. Do you know who he is? I want you to be like that too, so you can testify and witness Jesus who you know. Amen. So there is a peak of the mountain, the highest peak called the apex. And when you are at a ground level, you can see a person is up there. And then when you are halfway up, you can tell that this person is a man. And you go up a bit farther and you realize that this man is a king. But when you reach the top and meet him face to face, you see him face to face. Who is he? He is God. He is the creator. He is the creator God. Amen. Hallelujah. So you have to make it to the top of the mountain so you have 100% confidence and faith who he is. Do you believe 100% he is the creator God? So that is the very first point in your faith life, that Jesus Christ is the creator God. Jesus is the creator. He did everything that creator God did. And he gave us his name. And with that name, we experience in his name. And we are those who bear his name as his children. We testify who he is. Hallelujah. So he is going to keep his promise and fulfill the trust we have in him. We entrust our souls to him. We entrust our health, our problems, our family, our future, and everything we entrust to him into his hands. Being sick or well, it is in his hands. So that is why we entrust our family situation in his hands. Believe in Jesus Christ and you and your family will be saved. That's the faith that I have. The unyielding faith, we hold on to this promise, and because of this faith that he will surely fulfill and keep his promise, then you witness Jesus Christ and you trust him that you will and your family will be saved, that he will solve all problems of the future and all our possessions we entrust to him, for he's not taking anything from us, but he is fulfilling the trust we have in him, and he will guard and protect. And how do we trust God? What is the one way we can put our trust in God? The very best method? It's prayer. Why do you think I emphasize prayer? Why does the New Testament emphasize the power of prayer to pray in his name? Why is this given us as commanded in the name Jesus? Because prayer is the one act of trusting in God. And that's why it says, ask for all things and I will give it to you. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This is a promise. So you believe in this promise. So you let go of your nets. You let go of your problems, knowing that he will take care of it. And that is why you open your heart to God. all that garbage in you, you open it to him and he will take care of it all. So when we talk about trust, so you see these beams that hold the roof and connect to the pillars. We call these trusses, T-R-U-S-S-E-S. But it's derived from the same word, trust. It keeps everything intact. And so when we read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 to 13, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. So both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So the one who makes holy is Yeshua, and the one made holy are us. So we all are of the same family. We all came from one place. It is from God. The Son of God, Jesus, is from him, and we children who are made holy by his blood, we come from him as well. So the children of God, for we have been born in his blood, we all come from one. So he is not going to be ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. So brothers and sisters in assembly, there's the one who makes men holy and the ones who are made holy. So the church and the brothers are all one. So the church and the brothers are all one. And it says, I will put my trust in him. So who is this I referring to? Who is trusting who? Who is trusting who? So God, he sent the Son. So of the three persons of the triune God, God sent Jesus, the Son, who would fulfill the dispensation of the Father. So he trusted the Son to complete his plan, his will, trusting that he would fulfill. So now the Holy Spirit is to put trust in the church. The Holy Spirit is to put trust in the church and also the congregation of the brothers and sisters. Do you understand? So just like the Father God sent the Son, trusting that he would complete his will, now the Holy Spirit puts his trust in the brothers in the church to fulfill this work. So then we ought to do this work entrusted to us. So what do you place your trust in? In construction is the pillars, and in the church is the foundation of truth and the pillars of truth. And that's how the church is established, by the foundation and the pillars of truth. Now the church has to be erected by what? By the pillars. Pillars. I am a pillar of the church. Raise your hand if you believe so, that you are a pillar. Can a pillar be raised one day and fall the next? No. Even if it means death or sword, you have to be trusted as a pillar of the church and stand firm. That is an essential pillar. And it says the Holy Spirit puts his trust in the pillars that have erected the body of Christ, the church. Will the Holy Spirit just work by himself? No, it uses the people in the church through the trust in the people. So you have to be one who the Holy Spirit trusts. In other words, you have to become an essential pillar. Amen? So when we die one day and truly want to make it to the kingdom of God and see God face to face, say amen. So then how must you live in this world? What do you have to become? You have to become a pillar. You have to become one that the Holy Spirit can trust, a pillar that God trusts. So that when you go to heaven in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. It talks about the New Jerusalem. The saints who are raised will be pillars of the New Jerusalem. Pillars of the New Jerusalem, the pillars of the temple of heaven. You will be trustworthy pillars that will erect the New Jerusalem, the temple in heaven. Amen. So if you want to be a pillar, the first thing you have to do is pray. There's nothing more important and imperative than prayer. In Luke chapter 2, there is the prophet Anna. She was very old, likely past the age of 100. But she stayed at the temple and never left and prayed and fasted daily. She kept fasting and praying at the temple and she remained there. And so she was able to see the appearance of Jesus Christ the Lord as a baby. And she proclaimed the prophecy and declaration. So do you want to become that trustworthy soul for Christ, for God? Say amen. Has anyone ever heard the phrase, without you, I can't? Raise your hand. I've heard this. When my pastor sent me off, he said he wasn't confident in continuing his ministry without me. But after I was sent, it was so hard for me, but was able to endure and persevere through prayer to become a pillar of the Church of Jesus. I only trust you, Lord. It's only you I can trust. And I begin and end with prayer. The only solution is prayer. So once you trust him fully, he will start trusting you. The Holy Spirit will trust the church, and when the Lord comes back, he will trust you as the trustworthy pillar that will be part of the New Jerusalem. So today, once again, examine yourself. Who are you? That you are a soul that wants to live forever with God in heaven. But until then, while you are still in the flesh, you have to become a pillar of the church, a pillar that the church depends on and trusts. If you need to be there, don't you think Jesus will come to bring you? So it's not just us trusting in God, but we have to be trusted by God. Hallelujah. Let us pray.